This year we are encouraging you to read through the New Testament with us, and we do that five chapters a week. And so this week our reading is, we should have finished Matthew 16 through 20, and so today's lesson will be from a story from Matthew chapter 17 of Jesus' disciples trying to cast out a demon. And we're going to look in, if you'll turn in your Bibles, actually to this account in Mark chapter 9. This is Mark's account that I'd like us to spend most of our time this morning. Mark gives a few more details than Matthew on this story of the failed attempt at casting out a demon. And in Mark 9:14, we see that Jesus and Peter and James and John are coming down from the mountain from the transfiguration, where Jesus was transfigured. And so they come down off the mountain, and when they do, they come to the other apostles, the nine that were left down below. And when they come to them, they find that they're arguing with the scribes. And so we have this argument that's taking place, and Jesus asks them, he says, "What are you arguing about? What's all the fuss about?" Someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able." So this man says, he says, "I brought my son to you," meaning to your disciples, apostles, and Jesus wasn't there, but that's still Jesus' group. And he brought his son to those nine apostles. He says, "My son's demon possessed. The demon makes him, this would be seizures, and this demon is causing these." He also causes the boy to be mute. He cannot speak. He cannot hear. And we'll find out that he's been this way from a child because of this demon. This man is no doubt he's tried all, methods of trying to save his son. And he brings his son to Jesus' apostles. They can't do it. They can't cast him out. And so the scribes are arguing with the apostles. Now, can you picture this? Because remember, the scribes, they didn't like Jesus. They didn't like the apostles. They were always, in fact, that winds up being, the Jewish leaders eventually have Jesus killed. And Jesus would preach against the scribes and Pharisees. So here you have these two parties that are frequently at odds with each other. And the scribes, they've got the disciples. They've got them, they're on the ropes here. The disciples can't cast this demon out and can't. I can just picture the scribes heckling them. I can picture them, taunting them. And Jesus comes and he makes a statement in verse 19. He says, "O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me." This is an odd statement from Jesus. When we think of Jesus and even let's go further in kind of just how the world generally thinks of Jesus. They think of one that Jesus was always loving and forgiving and always merciful and, that Jesus just always understood and meek. And here Jesus makes this statement of exasperation. How long, O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? Verse 20. They brought the boy to him. When the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. This spirit, of course, is a demon. This is one of the devil's angels. And it what's amazing here is they bring this boy. So they've been talking about this boy, and Jesus hears about the apostles. They couldn't cast this demon out. Jesus says, "Bring the boy." When the boy comes to Jesus, when the spirit saw him, when the demon saw Jesus, the demon starts convulsing the boy. That's a powerful moment to me. And it's a reminder, the Bible tells us, Ephesians 6:12, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. And there's a translation of this that I think is even makes it even more clear. Our fight, this is New Century, our fight is not against people on earth. Do you ever struggle with people? Anyone ever get irritated with people? Frustrated? Ever feel hurt by people? Irritated? Exasperated? At our wits' end? Angry? Jealous? You think of how many of our struggles in life are with people, even of our own family, even those near and dear to us, those that we love, even our, how about our church family? We have so many struggles with people, don't we? Our nation is struggling with each other, with people. And the Bible tells us if you look at people as being the problem, you're looking at the wrong problem. That's not the problem. Our struggle is not against people on earth, but our struggle is against the spiritual forces of evil. And this moment to me is so powerful because when Jesus is waiting on this boy is brought to him, this boy and the demon that's in him. And when the demon sees the Son of God, the demon freaks out. The demon was not scared until he saw Jesus. My brother was just here for a week, it would have been fitting if he were here to fly out yesterday back to Sacramento, but I would tell the story exactly the same if he were here this morning, that when we were young, he was, of course, he's 5 years older than I am, and so growing up, as two boys growing up, you know, we would argue and we would wrestle a little bit, but we really didn't fight much physically because he was always so much stronger. He always had 5 years on me, and I was kind of puny anyway, so he always had the upper hand physically. We really didn't wrestle much, but I would torment and I would pester him, and he would get annoyed by that. I would want him to play with me, and he would get annoyed, and so I would mess with him, and then we were home one time, and I was doing this, and I would there was only one safe place in the house, only one door that locked, and that's in the bathroom. So I had already performed this maneuver numerous times, but one time we're home alone and I'm pestering him and he chases me. He commenced, like, you know, at some point I know it's going to be on, and then when he gets me, he always puts me in some kind of you know, arm bar hold, because there's no marks from that. But anyway, it would still hurt. So he chases me and I go to run, and I have one escape route, that's to the bathroom. So I do, sure enough, I dive in the bathroom, I grab the handle on the other side as I had often done, spin around, locking it all in one motion, slamming it shut, I'm safe, and then I hear boom. And he has kicked the bathroom door in frustration on the outside, kicked it. And we lived in a parsonage, by the way, which is a fancy word for the house that the church provides. So we didn't, you know, mom and dad didn't own the house. That kind of adds to the drama of this, but he kicked a hole in the door. And when he did, everything changed. Everything changed because I was no longer afraid of him. He was no longer irritated with me. He was now in trouble with Dad. And with Mom. And he knew it. And I still remember that moment distinctly, like all our squabbles dropped and the door opened, and now, oh no. And that's this moment with this demon. This demon has tormented this boy for all this time, and then this demon sees Jesus and the demon says, oh no. And it reminds me, there's another passage from Mark 1:23 that says, there was an occasion of Jesus and a demon. It says, immediately there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, what have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? Isn't that a weird thing to say about Jesus? We think of Jesus as Jesus is the loving, the merciful, the Savior. Well, he is, but not to demons. Not to the devil. And the fact is, demons and Satan are not afraid of you. Satan is not afraid of us at all. is he? Demons are not afraid of us, his angels. They're not afraid of us, but they are terrified of God Almighty and his Son, Jesus Christ. And that's encouraging to us, and should be, because our battle is so important that we understand we're not battling against people. We're battling against the evil one that's influencing people. We're battling against the devil that's influencing people. So when we're having conflict with people, if we will remember, you know what? The devil's working on them. And the devil's working on me. And the devil wants chaos and conflict. And that's what this is really about. It's not about our squabble. It's about what the devil's doing here. Verse 21, back to the story. Jesus asked the Father, he says, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And it has often cast him into fire and into water and to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus' answer is so powerful. Jesus says, if you can, he quotes him. Jesus quotes the man. If you can, if I can. In other words, who do you think you're asking for this? I remember when my girls were young, they would have toys. Sometimes they'd have a car that had come apart or some toy that was broken. But they would come to me once in a while with their little baby doll or with their Barbie doll. They would, at a young age, they'd come, you know, and maybe the head had fallen off of their doll, and they would come with, you know, those puppy dog eyes, and they'd be looking at this so distraught, and they'd come to me and they'd say, Daddy, can you fix this? And in their innocence, they're just asking. They don't know. They don't know if I can fix it or not. Daddy, can you fix this? And I would look at that. And take that from them, and yeah, I can fix this. And in my mind, I have a couple thoughts. One is, I'm daddy. Of course I can fix what's wrong, child. Of course I can. But just the understanding of what a small problem this is, but to them is so large. And I wonder when we bring our, when we pray to God, which we often do, distraught, upset, worried, panic, and we pray to God and we lift up to God, do we pray with the Spirit of God, can you fix this? And does God look down at us, with something so simple for Him to fix, does God look at us and say, what do you mean, can I? What do you mean, can I fix this? Is God insulted by our prayers? When we say, God, I pray, and maybe our words don't say, God, if you can do anything, but our heart does. Maybe after we pray and we go right back to worrying, maybe our worry says that. Maybe our prayer says, God, I believe and I trust you, but our worry says, God, I don't know, maybe you can. Maybe you can do something. Maybe you can fix it. This is a great story and a great moment where Jesus says, if I can. As if to say, who do you think you're asking? Jesus goes on to say, all things are possible for him who believes. All things are possible. He doesn't say all things are possible for him who is smart enough. Think about the world we live in. Who is the most powerful? Who is enough? Those are the people who are smart enough, wealthy enough, lucky enough. Maybe they had the right connections. If you think who's the most powerful in our world, who would you think of? The most influential? Maybe it's money they have. Maybe it's political power they have. Maybe it's a dictator. Maybe it's just a lot of influence. But God tells us, Almighty God says, the most powerful person, if you want to look at it that way, is the one with the greatest faith. If we were to look at this room, the resources we have, who has the most that they can really pull, that they can really do in this room? How would we rank each other? Who can do the most? Who has the most power? And the irony is, it's not the one in the room who's the healthiest, who has the most talents, who has the most experience, who has the most money, who has the most resources. The question is, who has the most faith in here? Whose prayers have the most faith? It may be one that's feeble and not able to be here, and they're watching remotely from home because their health is bad. But when they pray, powerful things happen. When they pray, mountains are moved. It's God. God is the power. Don't misunderstand that. But we look at people from the outside, from a fleshly perspective, and God says, if you believe, all things are possible for him who believes. It's a God who does it through our strong faith. And this man answers a phrase, a statement, that this should be our daily pursuit. I believe, help my unbelief. This should be a thing we do daily, church. God, I believe, I pray, I'm struggling, I need help, and I pray. And God, I believe, help me in my unbelief. Help me to have more. But I do, and I want to have more faith. So Jesus responds to this man. He casts the demon out. He tells the demon, don't ever enter him again. And look at what happens when this is the demon leaving. After crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out. And that's a reminder that even when Jesus casts this demon out, look what he does on his way out. He causes havoc. Satan has one purpose and focus, and that is tormenting you and I. He's wanting to destroy our souls. He'll do it day and night. He's trying 24/7, and our only hope is God and Jesus Christ, our Savior. Verse 28, this is afterward. When he had entered the house, Jesus, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? And he said to them, this kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer. The account in Matthew goes on to say, Jesus says, because of your little faith. But this statement is so, it's ironic, I think, to us, because we have the mindset that, well, we can do this or that, and we need to work, and we need to try to fix our situation this way and solve it that way, and we'll do all these things, and sometimes we run out of things, we don't know what to do, well, I guess we'll just have to pray. All we're left with now is prayer. And Jesus makes this statement here, this demon is so powerful, this situation is so bad, the only way it could happen is by prayer. The only way he's coming out is by prayer. Have you ever thought that there are things in your life that the only way for it to happen is through you getting on your knees? That there are things that God is only going to do for you if you pray in faith? Have we ever thought as a church, with all our hopes and dreams, we've been talking about dreaming of what we could do and be, and we want to improve and do this better and that better. Church, is it possible that there are things that will never happen here until we get on our knees and pray? Things that God will never grant. Things that could never be accomplished by us. It will only come about if we get on our knees and pray. This, I want to kind of finish up going back to this statement Jesus made. How frustrated do you think God is as his people pray to him doubting? How frustrated is God? Jesus, in this moment, he said, how long am I to be with you? Jesus is tired of being, he was tired of being with people on earth trying to get them to believe. They don't have faith. They don't have enough faith. And it makes me wonder, do we spend too much time praying, looking at the mountains in our life, and instead we need to pray looking at the power of our Creator? We look at the mountains and how big they are. We need to look at how big our God is. Our God's the one that made the universe just from speaking. And so when we pray to him, we're praying to, you know, we're handing him a doll that just needs this done to it. It's not hard for God. But will my heart trust to God to do what He knows is best? And so I leave you, church, with a reminder. We need to do more by being on our knees in prayer. We need to do more of that. We have a prayer group at Monday Night for the Master. We need that group to grow. Instead of that group just being kind of an afterthought, it's not an afterthought. Instead of that group just being that's something else we do. That needs to be a room that's, we need to be moving rooms because we've outgrown them, because we have more coming who say, I'm not going to do the cards tonight. I'm not going to do the service group. I'm not going to go out and visit anyone. I'm going to get on my knees in this room and pray with these people. We need to be a people who pray more. We're going to sing a song, Highest Place. And as we close out during this song, you may have something on your heart that you need that you would like us to lift up to God with you, and we'd love to do that. There may be one here this morning, you're not right with God. Your sins have not been forgiven. You've not given your life to Christ. And if that's your situation, please don't wait. Don't wait another moment. Let us help you with that. If you'd come while we stand and sing.
We pledge you, Lord.